Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, April 17th, 2015. And with me today, I have my good friends, Brian Chaffin. How are you?
I'm good, man.
That's awesome. And my other good friend, Kelly Gumond. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Excellent.
Now, wouldn't you have freaked out if after I told Brian I'm doing well and you said, how are you? And I said, I'm really sad.
Yeah, I might have.
Yeah,
but I would have understood because we have sunshine and you don't.
That's true. We can't even see the sky in Colorado today, and I couldn't see it yesterday. If we go more than about 4 hours without seeing blue in the sky, people start getting really depressed and sad, and we think the world's coming to an end.
Listen, man, give us your sleet, your snow, your slushy mush. We'll take it all.
You know, I really genuinely wish we could send some of this your way, because you really need some moisture in California. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll start doing more rain dances.
All right.
Excellent.
And for the people that have been peeking through my windows, that really is a rain dance, although it's awkward, but I've said too much already. Hey, we have a sponsor this week. And our sponsor is lynda.com. If you go to their website, lynda.com/TDO, you're going to get yourself 10 free days of all of their online training classes. So we'll talk about them more soon. But first, I thought that that we should let everyone know that it's starting to look like, if you want to buy an Apple Watch in the store, that it may be June before that's an option.
Well, you know, so what happened is Angela Rentz sent out an email to Apple Store employees, thanking them for their hard work on the rollout, congratulating them on that rollout, that sort of thing, talking about how wonderful the Apple Watch is, and mentioning the fact that online ordering was a difficult choice for Apple's executives, but they did it because that was the only way, from their perspective, to be able to efficiently meet initial demand. And then specifying that this would continue through May doesn't actually mean that it will absolutely end in June.
Right. So while we're saying it could be June before you can buy one in the stores, it could be July.
Or it could be even longer. It kind of depends on that demand. But as of right now, officially, online orders only, it's through May.
Yeah, we know it won't be May. Now, when you sit in the middle of April, somehow it seems like May is a really long ways off. But right now, it's April 17th. And we're 1 week away from the watch, and we're a second week away from May. So it's not like it's that far in the future. It just sort of sounds like it, because we're not as close to May as we normally, as makes it, I mean, to me, it seems like it's really far away. So there are a lot of people who ordered online on 0 day who are not going to get watches until later in May, probably as well. Some people even into June. So this is still part of what I wrote about the other day about taking the retail out of Apple retail. And it's interesting to me how this one is getting handled, because I really think that part of this, you can come in and pick it up and touch it, but I'm not going to let you, you know, if you want to buy one, I'm just going to help you through the website, is probably the same way that iPhone orders are going to start out too.
Well, iPhone orders may be, well, iPhones may be easier to get a hold of, only because
possibly
Apple has
made them before.
Yeah, they have many years of practice with this one, and the Apple Watch is totally new. So, so they're learning as they go along, and I think that has a lot to do with the vagaries of when they will ship for pre-orders and when they'll be available for purchase in stores as well.
Right. And I do think that testing, that this is sort of a test of a different way to help eliminate the lines.
I don't think so. Never thought so. Still don't think so. And her email specified that this wasn't going to be how they were going to do all products.
Right. And I don't expect it to be.
And I think this is all about the Apple Watch and the number of bands and case options. And that's where it starts and that's where it ends.
Okay.
And Brian, I hope you're right, because while I do pre-order my iPhones and iPads, I like the idea of being able to go into an Apple store on launch day for whatever the product is and buy it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important thing for a lot of people. So I hope you're right.
Yeah, and the email, she acknowledged exactly that. She said that, you know, big launch days were, you know, this isn't quite how she put it, but it was essentially a part of the Apple culture, and that customers like it, and that they like it, and that they weren't trying to get away from having big launch days. But at the same time, we also know that they're getting pressure from mall operators to curtail the lines. So I don't know. Come the day, Kelly, mm-hmm. if Apple keeps sales to online ordering only, I'll give you an apology. I don't think this is so much a direction as a necessity for this particular product.
Well, I don't think it's going to be exactly the same way, but I do think that what they're going to try to do is encourage everybody to order online, and they may do a larger availability window, like with more advance notice, like they did with this. Where you had a certain amount of time before you were able to even go in and start pre-ordering, so that people had time to sort of investigate and look at them and kind of figure out what they wanted. And I think they will do a lot of encouraging people to go get it online, because remember, even if you order it online, you can still arrange an in-store pickup. So if they tell you that your watch is ready April 24th and you can go pick it up in an Apple store, they will make that happen. That's a thing. So it's not like they're eliminating zero day. It's not like they're eliminating the huge lines or anything like that. They may be eliminating a portion of that if you have to have a purchase before you walk into the store, so that they are eliminating part of the, I'm going to buy a bunch, as many phones as I can carry, and then carry them all onto a plane back to Asia where I'm going to sell them gray market. So I just think that they're trying out sort of a new tactic in order to see if there's something they can do to make the entire process more efficient for everybody. And that includes people who line up on zero day and roll the dice and hope they can go home with a phone.
All right. Well, my guess is we'll know this fall, because that's Apple's track record for iPhone releases.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then in the meantime, just keep in mind that if you're thinking you're going to be able to go into an Apple store to buy an Apple Watch in the near future, that you need to redefine what near future means to you and assume that it will be at least June.
Yeah, you can still try them on.
Yes. But you'll have to order online.
And we still recommend that you try them on before you buy.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, because not everyone's going to get lucky like I did and order the right watch, go try it on, and then realize, yes, you did in fact order the right watch. So, yeah, there you go. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is lynda.com. And I'm pretty excited about that, because what Lynda does is teach us and make us smarter, which makes us better. And I like it when we're all better. So what they've done is they've put together all of these amazing training videos that are broken up into sections that are easy to follow along with. And they have over 3,000 different courses available, and they're adding more all the time. And they cover just an amazingly wide range of topics. You can learn skills that you need to run a business. You can learn the skills that you need to become a graphic designer or a podcaster or a video producer. It's amazing what they have out there. I've talked a lot about how I've really been enjoying looking at the Photoshop classes that they have, because even someone like me who spends a lot of time using Photoshop, if my computer's on, Photoshop is probably running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I go and I watch these various classes that they have, And I'm picking up techniques that I didn't know, and I'm learning how to use tools that that I didn't understand that you could use in these different ways. And it's allowing me to more efficiently create the graphics that I need to make every day. And it's allowing me to create graphics that that are cooler than they otherwise would have been. So even if you think you already know it all about a topic, there's a good chance that one of these instructors is going to have at least one little nugget for you that's going to improve whatever it is that you do. And even better, you can get as much of this as you can possibly digest into your amazing brain over a 10-day period for free. So if you go to their website, lynda.com, that's lynda.com/TDO for TMO Daily Observations, then you can sign up for your 10-day free trial, and every class that they have is immediately available to you. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. And I'm really curious what you guys are learning when you're going and taking classes from lynda.com. So let me know, because really, I am interested. And lynda.com, thank you so much for being our sponsor, mm-hmm. not just today, but all week long. That's absolutely fantastic.
So great.
Yes, indeed.
And they have more stuff than just software. That's one thing I always like to point out, is people go, oh, you know, I don't spend a whole lot of time on my computer. You don't have to. They have classes on all sorts of other things that maybe you use your computer as part of, like, you know, what's the one I'm trying to think of? Like paperless office sorts of things. Like they have other stuff that you can learn. So it's not just like if you want to learn Photoshop or if you want to learn something interesting in web design or whatever. Like they have stuff that's less computer based, but you can still sit there and enjoy it. Check it out and see what you think.
There you go. So that URL, lynda.com/TDO, and go get yourself smarter. All right. Now, the next thing I wanted to talk about today is
hold on. You just said, go get yourself smarter. That's so deliciously ironic. Go get yourself smarter. Hey, you smart? Go get yourself smarter.
You ain't smart enough, cowboy.
That's absolutely right.
I'm sorry. Mostly pedantic.
You know, the great thing is you actually caught what I did there, and I thought it sounded clever and good, and it was fast and your pedantry.
Please get that correct.
Yeah. Anyhow,
now we're going to talk about the new Star Wars trailer.
Yeah, okay. Well, public service. Go watch the new Star Wars trailer.
Yes, OMG. Please.
There you go. Yeah, it's awesome. And Brian, I'm talking to you specifically. But since we still have a show to do, Brian, you'll have to go watch the video after we're done recording. Because I'm really curious what you think about the way Apple is kind of changing with the way they handle information. And this stemmed from the fact that Steve Dowling, who's been part of Apple's public communication and PR team for many, many years, is now the official vice president of PR and communications.
Now, before the change is that he was interim, and he is no longer interim.
Right. So now this is officially his job.
Mm-hmm.
And since he started doing this, I've noticed that the joke has always been that when you send an information request to Apple's PR team, it's just a black hole. The information goes in, and nothing ever comes back out. And that's not completely true, but that's the way it felt for a lot of people. But that has been changing, and Apple is much more responsive and becoming much more open. And Brian, you've been watching this for a very long time as well, and I'm just curious if that's what you're seeing. And what do you think?
Well, you know, it is interesting. It is interesting. So certainly Apple almost immediately became more open when Katie Cotton left and Steve Dowling stepped into this interim spot. That – we talked about it internally. It seemed very deliberate, and I would say that that Tim Cook has essentially sealed the deal that that's how Apple is going to be. It's more open than it was before. Not open by any stretch of the imagination, but more open than it was during the Steve Jobs and Katie Cotton reign. And I think that's I've said this before. The secrecy served Steve Jobs and Apple well. Apple managed that really well. Tim Cook has, in fact, doubled down on secrecy, right? The lengths that Apple goes to keep its products under wraps are, in fact, extraordinary. That hasn't changed and that shouldn't change. But Apple answering more questions and being more open to the press, especially when there's any kind of questions about any kind of controversial questions, I suppose. These are all good things, I think. It's because Tim Cook is a different CEO than Steve Jobs was. Right? I'm not so much criticizing. Well, I used to often criticize how difficult it was to work with Apple PR under Katie Cotton, but that was only because it was it makes it harder to do our job. But the reality is that really did serve Apple and Steve Jobs well. It was part of Steve's personality. It was part of Katie Cotton's personality. Tim Cook is a different kind of CEO. So for there to be a different kind of a PR regime it's not only natural and understandable, but I think it's a good thing. But that doesn't mean that Steve and Katie were doing it wrong. They did what really worked for them. Tim is now doing what works for him, and quite frankly, I think that we as fans of the company, users of its products, and those of us who are covering Apple will stand to benefit.
I agree. And I see this as yet another indicator that Tim Cook is making sure that this is his Apple and not Steve's Apple that he's running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's and I know there's a lot of concerns that people had when Tim Cook took over, but I think a lot of those concerns were based on the fact that they didn't understand how Apple worked, and they didn't understand the links that the company, the leadership, and Steve Jobs specifically went to make sure that Apple was capable of operating without him around. Mm-hmm. And I think Tim is turning out to be an excellent leader for the company, and I like the direction that philosophically the company has been going. And I like the fact that we have this new openness. It feels so much nicer. I'm really liking Tim's Apple.
You know, I tweeted a couple of months ago, 3 months ago, something like that. Tim Cook, great Apple CEO or greatest Apple CEO? Discuss.
Yeah, and I thought that was a great tweet because there's a lot of people that actually do need to think about that.
Yeah. It's certainly a perilous topic because Steve Jobs was I mean, you know, Tim Cook could not be a great CEO, or, you know, to maybe explore the hyperbolic end of that, Tim Cook couldn't be the greatest CEO if he weren't building on what Steve had done. I mean, that's a fact.
Sure. Right. But if he wasn't really good at what he does, then he would not be able to effectively build on top of what Steve created.
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're out of time. So, yeah, I know. We're going to have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely delighted.
And I'm delighted too. And Kelly, I'm delighted you were here as well.
Thanks. It was great to be here because I got to tell Brian to watch the Star Wars trailer.
Yes, you did. And now the whole world knows Brian is the only person that hasn't seen it yet.
I know. It's true.
Yeah. And thank you to lynda.com for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website. That's lynda.com/T TDO and sign up for your 10-day free trial and soak up as much smartness as you possibly can. And apparently you're supposed to go get yourself smarter. Yeah. Listeners, thank you for joining us again for yet another week. It's always great to have you here. And we will see everyone again Monday.